Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our pal Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game, NFL Network and Radio.com on the Dialpad guest line. Brian, also brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Thank you very much, Brian, for joining us. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, how are you, pal?
Damon, guys, I'm doing great, man. I actually can't wait for this game tonight. It's just got so many implications.
It is a big one.
Division. Oh yeah, it's a big game. It's a big game for. I just saw the Rams against the Bucks on Sunday in the Coliseum, and they just had a lot of issues in that game, throwing it 70 times. I mean, all the things they did defensively, not being able to stop Jameis Winston on the pass game. I mean, they just had a lot of issues that you're not used to seeing from the Rams, and so and they're going into a really tough place to play on a short week. So I'm anxious to see if the Rams can turn it around and how quickly they can if they do.
Was there something right with Tampa Bay last week, or was there something wrong with Jared Goff?
Well, first of all, Jameis Winston is an improved player. I mean, he has just stacked together three really good games in a row. He's made one mistake in each of the three games. Now, it's a costly mistake, but, I mean, the rest of the game, I mean, he was almost flawless. And he wants to be good, and he's well-coached, and he's got a good head coach. And he's got maybe the best tandem of receivers in the league, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and they have been dominant so far this season, the first quarter. But Jared Goff, I mean, they asked him to drop back 70 times. And so, you know, he threw three interceptions, and, they were all really costly all the way to the end that put a final stake in them, and he fumbled it one time. So when you drop back to throw it, you know, three things can happen. Two of them are bad, and that doesn't really change. And so I would expect him to see a whole lot more Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown tonight than what we saw last Sunday.
I'm glad you took it there, because that was going to be my next question for you, Baldy. Is this maybe more about the fact that Todd Gurley is not the Todd Gurley we saw at the beginning of last year, and they don't trust the run game as much as they used to? Because that's what stands out to me, is the right answer here is ask Jared Goff to do less. But if the run game's not there...
Well, they fell behind 21-0.
Yeah.
So they did play catch up. You know, sometimes the game said, but, you know, they cut the lead 21-7 because of Todd Gurley. I mean, he ran a 13-yard punishing run right up the middle, and he looked like Todd Gurley. If you look at his average, he's averaging 4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
About what Todd has averaged, since Sean McVay took over. He looks to be that guy. And Malcolm Brown is a very capable running back. I mean, when he came out of high school, I mean, he was the player everybody coveted in the country. Might have been the number one player in the country when he went to Texas and had injuries and all that. But, I mean, he's a big, strong guy, very capable of having a good 1-2 punch. So I don't believe that's it. Sometimes these coaches just fall in love with the passing game and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, they have last year in the 19 games, they started the same offensive line for 19 straight games. Now, they replaced John Sullivan and Roger Saffold this year with new players. And I'm not putting it on the new guys, Joseph Noteboom and Brian Allen, but it's new guys. They lost Austin Blythe in a game, and so they've had a lot of new starters, and they don't have the same continuity that they've had. Nobody will use that as an excuse, and the Rams won't either. But, you know, sometimes you got to, like, learn how to play with the new guys a little bit.
Given, in particular, the Rams result, but to a greater extent, sort of the way last week went across the league, and the fact that home teams are doing so poorly, do you think you know less about the pecking order of the teams in this league after New England than you did at the beginning of the year?
Well, September is really the month now. It's really the new August. There's no training camp and players don't play. And so September is the new August, where you really have to identify what your issues are, and then your staff has to go to fix them. For example, Cleveland looked like a hot mess the first 3 weeks of the season, especially against the Rams on that Sunday night where they had first down at the 4, and they threw 4 incompletions. They never ran Nick Chubb, and, you know, they didn't make a dent into the end zone. You know, and then they go down to Baltimore. That's one of the teams you're talking about. and they put a 40 burger up, and you look at it, you go, what was different? Well, Freddie Kitchens blocked out the noise. He put Farrell Brown in the lineup. They went to a two-back system. Nick Chubb ran for 165 yards and three touchdowns. Baker was protected. Play action worked. And, you know, voila, it looked pretty well fixed. And you can bet when Cleveland comes next Monday night that you'll see a whole lot of number 86 for the Browns out there on the field. And so my only making the point about Cleveland is that you have to, around the league, if you just think you're going to project Super Bowl winners in September right now, it's just you can't do it because teams are either going to get better or worse. And the teams that get better are going to identify weaknesses and work really hard to either fix them or cover them up.
Talking football with Brian Baldinger as San Francisco gets ready for Cleveland. Which Brown keeps Kyle Shanahan up the most at night? Is it what Myles Garrett might do to his quarterback, or is it their quarterback, Baker Mayfield?
Well, you have to look closely at this Cleveland Brown defense. I mean, even against the Rams, they had four new secondary players in there because of injuries, yet they held the Rams to 20 points. Myles Garrett, outside of Shaq Barrett, who's just in a whole different stratosphere right now, what he's doing in Tampa, he's the MVP of this league. He's a dominant player, and you better have a plan every single player against him. Physically, he's just better than anybody he goes up against one-on-one, and he'll be better against whoever the 49ers put at left tackle. You better have a game plan for Myles Garrett every play, because if you don't, case in point, the Jets, he'll ruin your offense. He might knock your quarterback out. I mean, he's just on his game right now, and he's on a different level than just about every other defensive end in this league. So if I was Kyle, you always have to worry about yourself, but I would have a game plan every play. And if I was Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd make sure that I had two guys on him running past, because if not, he's going to ruin the play.
Speaking of defensive ends you need to worry about, what do you think Khalil Mack does to the Raiders in London?
Well, the Raiders went to London last year, and Seattle and Frank Clark ruined them. In fact, I thought Derek Carr left shocked and played like he was shocked for a couple weeks thereafter. It's a slippery field. It's a soccer field. It's made for soccer. You better get your footing down. But, Khalil Mack has already made mention that he circled this game on the calendar. Now, I'll say this. Derek Brown has played very well. Colton Miller has played well. The Raiders run the ball with Josh Jacobs really well. When they don't run the ball with Josh Jacobs, they tend to go backwards. But they'll have a plan for Khalil, but I think you'll get the best of Khalil Mack. I mean, he was awesome, last week. And so, he's playing the way you're used to seeing Khalil Mack play. I mean, if you give him an opportunity, I don't care if you double team him, he's going to find ways to get to your quarterback and disturb the offense. So, look out for the Mack attack in London, on Sunday morning.
You mentioned it earlier, the difference between the Baker Mayfield we saw running for his life in the first few games and what we saw as they lit up Baltimore. If the Niners want to see the prior Baker Mayfield, what's the key to beating what the Browns have done to adjust?
Well, they're going to run Nick Chubb. He came off the second best game ever. And, he ran on his 88-yard touchdown run. They clocked him at 22 miles an hour, which was the fastest anybody had clocked a football player this year. So you got to know that if you don't tackle well and you give him an alley, I don't care how far it is. He went 92 yards last year against Atlanta. He's going to finish in the paint. So, you've got to tackle well, and then you got to get off blocks. It's the best runner that they've seen this year, period. And the offensive line of Cleveland played their best game all year. So, a lot like Kyle Shanahan, they've got a play-action pass off every run. So, once you start thinking about Nick Chubb and really gearing up to stop him, and a lot of times it's by formation. They'll give you, two tight ends and two backs and a tight set on first down, and you're gearing up to stop Nick Chubb. And then, they'll pull it out, and, then they'll take their shots. Jarvis Landry had a big game last week. It's the best game as a Brown he's ever had, and you've seen what Odell is capable of doing in this business. So they're going to hurt you in the play-action pass game if you just sell out to stop Nick Chubb.
Given, though, the fact that Cleveland, like so many other teams, has been so uneven, can you look at them and say they now have an offensive philosophy based on their strengths and weaknesses that makes them a run-first team, not to the extent of, say, a team like Minnesota, but they're more a run-first team than a pass-first team?
I'll be honest. I mean, I did the first game of the year against Tennessee, and they just, you know, they had 18 penalties, and they were just undisciplined. They looked awful. But I was surprised even the first week that they weren't in a two-back set, and they weren't trying to do a lot of the things. In fact, Farrell Brown didn't even play in that game against Tennessee. So, I mean, they look like they changed the philosophy that Freddie Kitchens adopted once they made the coaching change last year. And I thought they got away from it. And really, down there, you know, at the four-yard line against the Rams, they completely went away from it. And it really surprised me. So when I saw them in the changes they made last week at Baltimore, I thought that's how they were going to start the season. And I, you know, maybe Freddie Kitchens, and they just fell in love with Odell and, you know, Jarvis, and, you know, Njoku's hurt now, but Njoku, and they just thought, oh, we just got all these perimeter players. We'll just throw it around a yard. And, you know, the offensive line wasn't good, and the left tackle got kicked out of the first game, and all this stuff. And I think they just kind of went back to what Freddie Kitchens was successful at last year, why they won 5 of the last 7 games. And I think that's the offense they'll bring to Levi Field next Monday.
Hey, Brian, let's wrap up with Gardner Minshew. You study film on these guys. He looks like he has Hall of Fame pocket presence to me. His footwork is kind of amazing, and you study this much more than I do. When I think I'm seeing good footwork, am I right?
Yeah, you are. In fact, he's my choice for the runaway rookie of the year in the first quarter of the season here. And I went back and forth with Kurt Warner a bunch this week on different quarterbacks. We got to Gardner Minshew. He's not sure that he sees the field like a veteran quarterback really sees it. But the one thing he did stress is that when, like, even last week against Denver, when Von Miller and Bradley Chubb were chasing them all over Mile High, I mean, when he went to throw the ball to Rock Armstead on the one touchdown, he sets his feet. His cleats are in the ground. You're right. I mean, his footwork is outstanding. He can elude the league's best inside a phone booth without making careless mistakes.
Yeah.
He's thrown 7 touchdowns against 1 interception. He's got a real command of what they're doing right now. And look, I mean, they're back in the race, and they're a very competitive team with him at quarterback, the way he played in the first 4 games.
Albie's really in my ear saying that we got to go, but I got to ask you real fast: the Vontaze Burfict decision, was it right?
I thought John Runyon got it right for the league office. I mean, he hit Jack. The thing that was interesting when he hit Doyle on the helmet was offensive linemen from the Colts were running down the field, pointing at their helmet, going, it's helmet to helmet. They throw the flag. When players are doing that, they know the rules have changed. The way we play the game has changed. And even forget about the history of Vontaze Burfict, which has got him suspended for the year. The players know it now, and players are adjusting. And when they see it, they're calling it. And that's the thing I thought that really opened my eyes about that hit.
Baldy, you're the man. Thanks so much.
All right, Damon, you got it, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.